Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's move on. Talk a little back to the NBA. Joining us from Sporting News, Mr. Joe Morgan covers the Clippers and joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Joe, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Sunny Los Angeles is good to me. How's everything going with you guys?
We're doing just
fine. Can't complain too much.
I'm sure you get confused with the former manager of the Boston Red Sox all the time.
there's a Hall of Fame baseball player that's a lot better than me. So yeah,
I'm sure that's what I was kind of joking about that. Yeah, the other Joe Morgan. All right, the Clippers won that huge game in Game 2 in this series. And, it might be the best game of the playoffs so far. Unfortunately, it's, a series, and you have to find a way to win four. And as well coached as the Clippers are, talent's going to win out, and it looks like that's the case here.
Yeah, I mean, this is the NBA, and at the end of the day, in the NBA, stars win. That's what wins playoff series. And nobody expected the Clippers to beat Golden State coming into this series. But I think the key point is nobody expected them to really be in this position to begin with.
Right.
Even myself, I didn't pick them to be in the postseason at the beginning of the year. And for them to get in and then win that game at Oracle in Oakland, I was there. It was unbelievable. The largest comeback in the history of the postseason play, I think really validates their season in general. I think to get that win, to show the fight that this team has without an all-star on the team, no superstars, was incredible in its own right. But as you kind of said, look, there's just too much talent on this Golden State team. We saw it last night. Curry had an off night. Durant and Clay go off. I expect them to probably wrap it up in five or maybe six. But the Clippers find a way to win two would be almost miraculous, in my opinion.
Joe, because of these circumstances that we're talking about, obviously you're going up against the mighty Golden State Warriors. I want to focus on this free agency because clearly with the season that the Clippers have had, as well as, the showing they've put together, even if it only goes five games against the Warriors, would seemingly put them in a pretty good spot coming free agency with a bunch of really good players to pick from. How are the Clippers feeling about this going into this offseason?
Well, by all accounts, they're feeling pretty good, yeah. And they should. I'll just say this, guys. I'm from L.A., okay? I've spent most of my life here. I have never had the Clippers be in the conversation with the Lakers as kind of the hot it team in L.A., and that's what's going on right now. With all the turmoil that's happening with the Lakers, the Clippers are that steady organization with some really smart people at the top.
Who would have thunk it?
It's incredible. It's been tough to see. And I think that Game 2 win, I do think players see that.
Yeah.
And you see a team that is fighting and able to come back like that from 31 with Doc Rivers that the players love. Jerry West is right there with an owner that everybody seems to really like. I think the Clippers are in prime position to land one, if not two, superstars. We've heard a lot about Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with him. And, if Toronto somehow finds a way to make it to the finals, it'd be hard for me to see him leaving. But with that being said, a lot of people think he's going to be a Clipper and doesn't want to play with LeBron or be a Laker. So for the first time in, forever, the Clippers are a destination franchise, which is pretty exciting.
Joe, I want to ask you a little bit about the logo, Jerry West. How much involvement does he have with the front office? Obviously, he has been a great executive throughout his career, but there were pieces in place when he came on board. How does he factor in to decision-making as it goes with the front office?
Yeah, it's a good question. I can't give you exact details. All I know is that now that he's here, things have changed.
Mm.
And the Clippers have surrounded themselves with smart people. I think this is something that we're seeing across the league where there's a handful of smart guys making decisions. the Lakers haven't necessarily had that. It's been, you know, it was Pelinka and Magic, and that was about it. The Clippers have a brain trust of people that are making these calls. And when Jerry West suddenly shows up and you're able to go from Lob City era, right, which was a bit of a disappointment,
yeah,
and then trading away all of those players, and in less than a year, you're suddenly where you are now, is amazing. And I think Jerry West needs to get a lot of credit for that, though there are a handful of guys who are making a big impact for the Clippers.
Joe Morgan, Sporting News, covers the Clippers, joining us. Talk a little NBA hoops here. I do want to follow up on what Tony asked about the free agency situation, because even though I 100% agree with you and 100% agree with Tony, I guess I grew up in L.A. and I lived there for so long that it's really tough for me to believe that the Clippers would ever surpass the Lakers in any way, shape, or form. Even if the Clippers, with this season and the Lakers' disappointment, isn't it still fair to say that the Clippers will always bat second in that town?
It's not fair. I'll say that. Yes, look, this is a Lakers town because of a couple of reasons. One, obviously, the championships, the winning. It's been going on, you know, for as long as we can remember. And two, the Lakers are kind of a sexy team, right? They have the celebrities, and everybody's going to those games. But I think as we're seeing now in the NBA, I'm not sure players care as much about that. They almost care more about the location and the future of an organization. And I think people are starting to realize, hey, the Clippers are in L.A. too. It's 75 on the Clippers side of the locker room just as much as it's 75 on the Lakers side. So, and I think with where they're going and the leadership that they have, I think there's a real opportunity for them to, I'm not going to say surpass, I don't know what's going to happen in the future,
yeah,
but at least become equal partners, if you will, in L.A. alongside the Lakers. And winning trumps everything. If, you know, the LeBron era and with the Lakers doesn't produce championships, and suddenly the Clippers, you know, they get a guy and they're going to Western Conference Finals. Players look at that kind of stuff, and they're going to decide, I want to go win rings, and if that happens to be the Clippers, then so be it.
Joe, I got to ask about Patrick Beverley a little bit. I'm not sure what his contract situation is moving forward, but has he proven himself to be a piece that, you know, could run a team and be a point guard on a team that can get deep into the playoffs? Because, listen, his work really all season long has been pretty impressive. I know he's had some injuries, been nicked up a little bit, but it's hard to argue that he's not the heart and soul of this basketball team.
Oh, he's everything. Patrick Beverley embodies what this Clippers team is. You saw it, actually. I thought it was incredible. In game two in that comeback, they were down, you know, it was in the low 20s or whatever it was, and Beverley is still clapping and yapping and talking away with Durant. And I didn't really get it at the time when I saw it. I was like, what is he doing? You know, I mean, they're down 25. And after the game, Doc said it was basically all him in that huddle, saying, we're not going to lose this game. He is a bulldog. He's everything. He wanted Kevin Durant. That was all him. I don't know if he's necessarily a guy that's going to run your team. You know, I think they've Shai Gilgeous-Alexander there, and he is the future. But Pat Beverley has made this Clippers team, along with Montrezl Harrell, has made this team what they are. He deserves a lot of credit for them. I think he's an unbelievable player. And defensively, I think Doc said it a couple times, you know, he's a Hall of Fame defensive player if there was such a thing, right? So he's been incredible.
Another guy is incredible, really, to me, is Doc Rivers. I mean, I don't think we can totally overlook him. And I'm curious, does Doc understand where he sits kind of in the pantheon of NBA coaches? He's already led the Celtics to a championship. Were he to ever lead the Clippers to a championship?
My God.
Right? You'd have to start really considering Doc Rivers, because, first of all, he was a great player in his own right, et cetera, played in a lot of big ball games. But as a coach, he is kind of not looked upon as the Popovich.
Right.
But if he could do this with the Clippers one day, they might have to change their thinking on Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I agree. It's been up and down for him. I've actually somebody who has questioned in the past, you know, because there's been some of those teams with the Clippers were the Lob City years were disappointing. And he wins that ring with Boston in 2008, and then he comes here to LA, and there were some up and down years. But the coaching job that he's done with this team in particular, I think he could be coach of the year. I don't think he's going to win it, but he's top three. I think Coach Buds and Milwaukee end up getting it. But if there was a guy who deserves it, it's Doc Rivers and everything that he's done with his team. As I mentioned before, to not have a superstar. And in the West, more importantly, when you're in the 6th, 7th kind of seed there for a while, they obviously dropped to the 8th seed at the end of the year. But to have your team competing for a high playoff spot with the roster that, you know, isn't going to fire anybody up at the end of the day, right? If you look at that team before the year, you didn't think they were going to do anything. Doc Rivers has had, in my opinion, the coaching year of his career. This is his best job. I think he's now starting to finally get the recognition. Those 2008 years, people said that was the big three. He had all the talent. He doesn't have all the talent this year. This is his best job. I think moving forward, people are going to really start appreciating and realizing that.
Joe Morgan joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Joe, one quick question. I started to ask you, is there something to the fact that this team, this Clipper team with no stars, has been the better team, or at least not as disappointing as the Lob City team? But you referred back to the Celtics team. They had plenty of stars. Is it something about the right kind of star that Doc usually seems to get going in a different way? Because obviously those guys in Boston were different monsters. I mean, Garnett, Grinder, Pierce, Grinder. I don't know if you'd say that about the squad that he had in Lob City, but you would certainly say that about this squad that he has this year.
Yeah, I think the Lob City years were interesting, to say the least. There was some squabbling that was going on between the teammates. It just wasn't necessarily a great fit. Not everything works out.
Right.
Right. And Chris Paul was a handful. He always has been. Obviously, it's worked everywhere he goes, but he's not always that easy to deal with. And so it just didn't work out there. I think this team fits Doc's personality more than anything.
Right.
Doc's a grinder. He wants to come in. He wants to do the work. He wants guys that are willing to put in the work. I can't say that the Lob City era didn't want to do that. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, that every guy on this Clippers team now comes in, they put in the work. A lot of them feel like they're not appreciated to the level where they think they should be. And he's turned them into a team that, in my opinion, in the next 2 or 3 years will be the best team in L.A. And there's guys on this team right now, including Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I think are going to be pretty big players in the NBA moving forward.
Joe, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of this series as long as it lasts, and enjoy a good offseason with the Clippers. It should be a fun one. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.